we've been worshiping this morning, God has been drawing us into his presence because he wants to meet with us this morning. He wants to speak to us. He wants to hear from us. He wants to touch us. He wants to gather us around this table at the end of the service and remind us of his love, of his care, to challenge us, to call us, I believe, afresh in this walk with him. And we're in this series of sermons on Peter, and Peter is going to talk a little bit about that this morning. He's going to talk about what it means to be involved in leadership, and he's going to encourage us to all see ourselves as leaders in some way. But let's read together from 1 Peter chapter 5, the first five verses, and he talks to elders, but just apply that to yourself as well this morning. Peter says, I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. Then, when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. And likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. And all of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, for God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And this morning, Father, we pray that you would speak to us this morning about your love for us, your love in coming and sending your Son to earth, your love in wanting to restore relationship with us, your love in wanting to give your Spirit with your gifts that we can make a difference for you in this world. Father, we pray that you would help us to become the leaders that you are seeking in this world. And Father, we pray that this passage this morning would speak in fresh ways to us, that we would learn what it means to be your shepherd leaders. And so we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know this morning how you would define leadership. There's a million definitions. One of the things I love is books on leadership, and I read quite a bit of them. And this morning, we're kind of thinking about what that means from a distinctly Christian perspective. And Peter is going to talk to the elders, as you heard in that passage, about exercising oversight. And then he's going to tell others to be subject to those elders. And I guess that's about as simple a definition as you can get of what leadership is. It's someone in charge, and it's someone following. John Maxwell has that wonderful line, you know, if you think you're leading but no one is following, you're only taking a walk. And you need both halves of that. And Peter talks to us and he says, you know, sometimes you can think that leadership is all that somebody else does. You know, this is a passage about elders in the church and they should be the ones who hear this. Or, you know, I'm not a leader in my workplace, or I'm not a leader in church life or something like that. But I think anytime we try to exert influence, we are leaders, whether it's as a parent, whether it's as a grandparent, whether it's as an employee at work or a manager at work, whether it's a coach on a team, whether it's in your neighborhood, wherever it is, if we are exerting influence, it has something to do with leadership. And I just think if you take leadership at its simplest form, you know, they always say the task of pastors is to make this complex simple. So let's make this real simple. Think of leadership as a line. And on one end of the line is what you do. And on the other end of the line is who you do it with. And so on this end is task. And task is we're here to accomplish something. We're leading because something needs to be done. And on the other end is the people who do it. Leadership is done through people. If we didn't need people, you wouldn't be a leader. You don't lead your computer. The computer just obeys you. But if you got people, then you got to lead people, and you've got to figure out how to work with people who have emotional needs, who have, you know, other parts of their lives, who are human beings, if you want. And authoritative leadership is all at this end of the thing. Authoritative leadership, this is the Steve Jobs of Apple, the Jeff Bezos of Amazon. It's all about, you know, we're here to do a task and we're going to use people, but people are simply portable, replaceable machines. You know, we'll burn them out and we'll get new ones. They're renewable resources. They just keep making more workers. We'll just keep doing that. On the other end is the whole thing of servant leadership taken to its extreme, which is where, you know, it's all about making the employee feel good, and it's all about, you know, am I feeling empowered, and all about do I love my job and all that kind of stuff. And the challenge is when you get to either end of them. And what I would say with leadership is just finding a healthy place between those two ends, between the task and the relationship. So at 8 o'clock this morning, a bunch of guys showed up and set up all the chairs for you. Now, they were fairly task-oriented. We knew we had to get that done. So people were moving and doing stuff. And you could just do the task and never talk to each other. Everybody just knows the rows go here, 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 and all the chairs get set out. The other extreme of that would be, well, you know, we could bring donuts and we could bring Tim's and we could bring a few things and we could sit around and talk about our weeks and, you know, how our marriages are doing and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And you'd be sitting on the floor. And the question comes, how do you do leadership that's somewhere between this authoritative task and this completely people-oriented servant? And I think that's why I like the term shepherd leadership, which I don't hear anything about, but Peter talks about it. And he's saying shepherd leadership is somewhere in between the extremes of task and servant. And Peter begins to explain that to us. And so this morning, you are a leader somewhere in your life, so this applies to you. And he's going to talk about leadership in the church a little bit, but that's kind of as a model to help us understand how we can do it in our own lives. So he talks first about elders. And he says, I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder, a witness, a partaker in the glory. And elders are the way the church throughout history, from the time of Moses on, and even before Moses, if you want, that's the way God has set things up. So if you remember back, the people of Israel were in Egypt, you remember, with Pharaoh, and Moses comes, let my people go. Eventually, they go, and on the way to the promised land, they spend 40 years in the desert, where God actually makes them into a nation. And it's at that time that he begins to really bring elders out as the way to run a country. And so he says this, the Lord said to Moses, gather for me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom you know to be the elders, and bring them to the tent of meeting, and let them take their stand there with you. And I will come down and talk with you there, and I will take some of the spirit that is on you and put it on them, and they will bear the burden of the people with you. Now, it would be wonderful if our country was run by politicians that saw this as a model for how to run a country, but because we're not a Christian country in that sense, it isn't. But it's how the Old Testament sort of worked, and into the New Testament, it still worked that way. You know, when Jesus was around, it says in another place I didn't put in your notes, from that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes. And so that was the way that Israel, both as a country and as a religion, understood leadership. It was this elder-type leadership. And the early church just simply continued that on. And so Peter just assumes that they're going to be leaders. And so he talks about the role that they have. And I think that we can begin to now overhear what's going on and begin to apply that in our own relationships, whether it's our relationships as parents, our relationships as coaches, as grandparents, whatever it is that you're there. And he starts with this idea that the first role we have is to shepherd the sheep. And he says, think of the idea of leadership through the lens of a shepherd. And I think he's thinking back to Jesus, where at least a couple of places where he would have overheard Jesus talking about this. First one is Jesus said to them, "I say to you, I'm the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers. The sheep didn't listen to them, but I'm the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." And Jesus saw his ministry, his leadership style, through that lens of shepherd. And I think he's worth imitating. And he wanted Peter, I believe, to continue that, and the disciples to see themselves of doing that. So you may remember that when Jesus was about to be killed, he was tried before the Romans and the Jews. And at that time, Peter denied him three times, denied he even knew him, ran away into the dark. And after Jesus was killed and rose again, he met the disciples on the beach at one point. And he took Peter aside and he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And Peter said, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." In fact, he does that three times, one for each of the times that he denies Jesus. And it says, "Tend my sheep, watch my flock." He's encouraging Peter to see through the image of shepherd leadership that he looks after people. And so that's the people side. He says, you got to think like a shepherd. A shepherd looks after their sheep. But then he says on the thing, you also got to exercise oversight. You've got to accomplish something. You've got to lead the people. And after hearing Tyler's understanding of spiritual gifts, Paul's understanding is, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. The one who leads, lead with zeal. And the function of leaders is to lead. It's to make a difference. It's to try and make things happen that wouldn't happen if they weren't there. It's providing oversight, giving direction, planning for the future. They're watching over people to guide them and help them not to stray. And a little bit earlier in 1 Peter, he actually sums up both those things in one verse, where he says, "For you were straying like sheep, but now you've returned to the shepherd and overseer of your soul." And if you want to think of it that way, the shepherd and the overseer of your soul is this people and task part of leadership. And he says you need to do both, but you need to do both together in some way that you're not at either extreme. You're not a servant, you're not an autocrat, but you're a shepherd in the middle somewhere. And he says, you know, maybe one of the ways to do that is, let me give you three not this but this. And the first one is not under compulsion but willingly, so that we should want to lead to make a difference in people's lives. The second one is not for shameful gain, but eagerly, that we should do it for the right reasons. And the third one is that we should do it without domineering over those in our charge. That not to be this task-oriented authoritarian leader, but we should do as Jesus did, shepherd the flock that is among you, exercising oversight. And Peter says we need to do both of those at the same time. And I think one of the challenges of being a Christian, one of the challenges of being human is we're wired to one side or the other. Some of us are very task-oriented. We just walk into something, we see what needs to be done, we see people that aren't doing it, and we just tell them what to do. You've probably met one of those people or two in your lifetime. The other side of it is the people that just care about people, and it's all about just how are we feeling and all we're doing, and it doesn't matter if the task gets done because it's all about that. We're wired to one side or the other. But being Christians, we feel we are pushed to the side of people. Christians are nice. Or at least we should be. Or at least we think we should be. And we can love people so much that we can lose sight that there is direction and things to be accomplished, that there is this providing oversight that's there. And I think the challenge of being a leader is to provide the leadership that allows for that to happen. So a number of years ago in another city, there was a church that I knew fairly well that was made up of the merger of two other churches that hadn't been doing so well. And these two churches merged, but they never united. And they always seemed to fight. They always seemed to struggle. They'd start to grow, and then things would go sideways. And then a pastor came, and peace began to reign over this church, and it began to grow, and they bought a piece of land in the edge of the city, and they built a new place that was probably like three times the size, and the church continued to grow, and there was peace, and there was all kinds of stuff going on. And I was a young guy at this time, and I remember sitting down for coffee with this guy who was the pastor, and I said, it seems like what all I know about this church is that it's had this history, and now all of a sudden it doesn't have that history anymore. Say, can you kind of help me understand kind of what's going on? And he gave me this leadership lesson, and I don't know if it's helpful or not, but it was very helpful for me. He said, you know, the purpose of leaders is to lead. And when they don't lead, there's a leadership vacuum that happens. And nature hates a vacuum. Something will always rush in to fill a vacuum. And he says, when a leadership vacuum occurs, then anybody that has any gift of leadership will rush in to fill that because it just feels bad to have a vacuum there. And the challenge with that is that they will bring what they think is best for the situation, but because there's no planning that's gone into that, and because they're not coordinated on what they're doing, they will go in all sorts of directions at the same time. And that'll cause ministries to lurch all over the place. And that'll lead to conflict, which will lead to hurt feelings, which will lead to people leaving the church. And he said, if you look at churches that are struggling, that is almost always the problem with the church, is that there's a leadership vacuum from the leaders who are elected or appointed or supposed to be there, and it's all being filled from the other part where there is lack of coordination and other things going on. And he said, the leadership vacuum is just causing the challenges. And then he looked at me and he said, I just make sure there's never a vacuum. And I don't know whether or not, you know, sometimes he had a way of filling that vacuum in a very strong way. But I think in our lives, God has called us to be leaders. And when we abdicate that role or don't want that role, and we're going to look at Exodus in the new year, and, you know, Moses was the most reluctant leader of anybody. But the challenge is when we don't step up into the place of leadership that God has called us to, other people will, and that doesn't make everything go smoothly. And this idea of shepherd leadership says, leadership is a valuable thing. It's a valuable thing in our families. We're not just here to be our kids' friends. We're here to provide oversight and leadership in their lives. We want to do that lovingly and kindly, but we need to do that. And if we don't do that, then they will rush in and fill the leadership vacuum. We need that in our workplaces. We need that in our neighborhoods. We need that in our church. We need that in our ministries. And Peter's saying we need to have shepherd leaders, and we need to see ourselves that way. And he says, you may not want to do that because, you know, there's a price for leadership. Jesus said, I laid down my life for the sheep. Hopefully for us it won't be that. But there will be a price for leadership, but he also says there will be a reward. And he says there will be a crown of an unfading crown of glory. And I don't have a clue what that means, but what I think it means is where Jesus tells that parable about how some people were entrusted with some money and then they had to come back and show how they had used it, that parable of the talents, we call it. At the end of it, it says, his master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over little, I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. And I think if that benediction was pronounced over us when we get to heaven and we meet God for the first time, face to face, that would be a crown of glory, wouldn't it? That would be a reward worth receiving. Peter says, we are called to be leaders in our area, whatever our area is. For some of us, you know, it's grandparent, and that's an interesting thing to be a leader in. For some of us, it's parents. For some of us, it's our workplaces. For some of us, it's ministries here at the church or ministries in the community or other things. And then he says, you know, the other thing about this is not only do you need to have leaders, but you need to have those who submit to authority. And he goes on to tell the rest of the people to submit to those in authority. And I've been really struck as I've been reading through Exodus, as we've been kind of beginning to prepare for that series of sermons. If you remember the story of Exodus, they're in the desert and everything is going wrong for Moses. He's leading all these people who've come out of Egypt, who were slaves and never had to do anything in their lives, but now there's no one to look after them. And so they want Moses to look after them, and they're walking through the desert and there's no food or there's no water or there's no whatever. And so in one place it says the people quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." And Moses just, you know, "Why do you quarrel with me?" But then this next question, "Why do you test the Lord?" And the thing about spiritual leadership is, if spiritual leadership is put in place by God, when we struggle with that, we're not just struggling with that individual, we're struggling with God and what He set in place. And I was just thinking about that. You know, we've had an election where for many of you, you didn't get the result you were hoping for. And that could be on any one of two sides of where it came out. But when we quarrel with our leaders, we're quarreling with what God has put there. Now, if we want to get involved in the political process and change things and be at work, that's great. But if we're going to complain and quarrel, we're complaining and quarreling against what God has set in place. And I think it's true in the church. I think it's true in our workplace. I think it's true in our politics. I think if leaders are good, leadership is good, our leaders may not be as good as we want them to be. But if they're placed there by God, it's our job to support them and to work through the system if we want change. And then at the end of it, he just says, we need humility, whether as followers or whether as leaders. We need this humility to live together. And I just want to close out this part of the sermon with two thoughts. And the first thought is this: this applies to everyone. This isn't a sermon about the elders. You know, there's a bunch of them here and they need to be hearing this, and I hope they are. But everything he says applies to all of us. If you have influence anywhere in your life, how you use that influence is what he's talking about here. Whether it's an official role or an unofficial role, if you have influence in any place, whether it's a parent, manager, coach, neighborhood, work, whatever, we're to see this shepherd leadership as being how we do that. But he's also talking in there about how do we set up leadership in the church. And this morning, I just want to give you just a really high-level thing. Most of you know this, some of you don't. Most of you don't know all the details of it, but the way our church is set up is to emulate this. And so we have two groups of people in charge. We have a board who look after anything to do with legal stuff. So they look after money, they look after insurance, they look after employees, they look after building. They look after that, the business side of the church. But we also have a set of elders, and the set of elders are there to look after the spiritual life of the church. We've given the board the role of doing that so that the elders can focus on what they do. And what the elders do is four things, basically. They oversee the spiritual life of the church. Is the teaching biblical? You know, am I staying on track? Is your small group leader staying on track? We have cadre, the Bible school in the evening. Is that staying on track? They're working with spiritual issues. You know, what is this whole same-sex attraction thing going to be for our church? What does it mean for marriage? What does it mean for those kind of things? That's what they wrestle with, is these kind of teaching areas of the church. They oversee congregational care. When Tyler says that we care about you by name, it's true. And what we've done is we've set up our elders over fifths of the church. We divide the whole church into five groups and put elders over them so that they can care for you by name and hopefully get to know you by name. They oversee prayer in our church. That's why I always say there's an elder who will pray with you in the prayer room. We will come to your house and pray with you. We'll pray with you over the phone. We have a prayer chain where you can get 30 or 40 people just praying for your thing, and you just have to look in the bulletin to see that. And then fourthly, the elders oversee our church membership. They process and approve for baptisms, for new members, for following up people who drift away and just get lost somehow. And they do all that. And I don't know if you know who they are, so what we've done is we've taken one elder couple and one pastoral couple and put them together. The challenge is we have one elder couple who are on medical leave, and we have one pastor who's on medical leave, so it got messy. But here's how it sort of looks. If your last name starts with A to C, Lori and Wayne Swab and Ever and Ada Arohu, or however he says it, are your elders. Now, there should be a pastor in there, but he's on sick leave at this moment. So that's two actually elders together. But A to C, that's your people. If you're D to H in the last name, it's Steve and Judy Cripps and Tosh and Jordan. If you're I to N, it's Bernard and Ethel, and it's primarily me, because Don and I both have a flock, but Don and I together. If you're O to SO, because we have so many S's, we have to split you in the middle, that's Cecil and Jennifer Hall, and Tyler and Charity. And then if you're SP to the end of the alphabet, that's where we're missing our one elder couple. And so Don is primarily there, Don and me, but Steve and Judy are also helping out. But these folk are there as elders, so they're doing four different things in the church. They're looking after the spiritual life in the church. They're looking after prayer in the church. They're looking after membership and stuff in the church. But congregational care is a big part of what we do. We say the elders are an extension of the pastoral team in many ways. So you should get an email from your elders between now and Christmas, and they just want to get to know who you are. And honestly, they don't always know who they know your name, but they don't always know your face. So if you want to introduce yourself, you want to just contact them. Their emails are always in the bulletin and stuff. And so, you know, if you want prayer for something, but they would just love to know who you are and just be able to pray for you. And if you need something, you know, they're your first kind of place to go. But just elders are a super important thing. And we want to lead the church as a model for how we lead in our lives. And our elders are these shepherd leaders who are trying to model that kind of leadership. So this morning we've been talking about this whole shepherd leadership. It comes out of Jesus' life and out of his model. And Jesus said, "I come that they may have life and have it abundantly, for I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." And it's just this reminder this morning that God has called all of us to make a difference in the world. All of us have sinned and walked away from God. We have broken that relationship with God, and God has come and renewed that relationship through Jesus Christ, where he has come and died on the cross, lived his perfect life, risen from the dead. And as we accept his offer of forgiveness and confess our sins, we can have this fresh start where his Holy Spirit comes and lives within us. But it's not that we've given this fresh start that we can just sort of sit at Jesus' feet and do nothing. It's that he's calling us to be his leaders in the world, leaders who have influence and make a difference. That we're here because we're people that can help make this world not just a better place, but what Jesus would say is that his kingdom would come on earth, and that we would begin to usher that in a little bit. And so we come and we gather around this table this morning, and as we gather around there, we have these elements that are there. There's that bread that's in little cubes. It's a symbol of his broken body, that what allows us to have this relationship with God was his death. There's this cup which has the juice in it, that reminds us that his blood was shed on the cross as a sacrifice for us, that he gave himself as the shepherd leader for us. And as we come and we receive that this morning, we remember what God has done in bringing us back to this relationship that we can have with him. But as we come and we take that this morning, I also encourage you to think, just open your heart to God and say, God, what is it that you would want me to do? Maybe there's been some promptings in your life. You know, I need to reach out to someone. And you just haven't been doing that. Maybe, you know, there's a relationship that's strained and you've been sensing God say, just reach out and try and make that better. Maybe there's someone in your life that God has just been saying, you know, why don't you reach out? Maybe they're at the place where they're open to hearing a little bit more about me. Maybe there's a task that God would love you to do. Whatever it is this morning, I am convinced that God has brought us into relationship with him so that we can become his shepherd leaders in this world, that we can make a difference for him, that we can have influence. And the question this morning as we gather around this table is, are we willing to accept that challenge that he gives us? That we can be his shepherd leaders, providing oversight in the work that he is just beginning to speak to us about in the quiet of our own heart. And so we gather around this table. If this morning this symbolizes truth for you, that Jesus' death and resurrection is the way you have come to be with God through your confession of sin and your acceptance of his forgiveness, we invite you to come and to eat and to join with us. Let's eat and drink together around this table. And as we do, let's be open to what God would be saying to us about what it means to be shepherd leaders in our world and in our families. And so, Father God, we thank you for your word this morning, your challenge that you want us to make a difference for you, not in our own strength, but in yours, not in our own way, but as your shepherd leaders, following your example. Father, we pray for our elders in our church that you would bless them as they seek to live this out. But I pray for each one here who this morning would be looking for your just leading and guiding and how you want us to be your shepherd leaders in this world. Father God, as we gather around this table, prepare our hearts. Remind us of what you have done to bring us to this place. And Father, challenge us and walk us into this new future where we can be your shepherd leaders for you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.